loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord God, we know that you are merciful and loving and kind and faithful to us. And so we've gathered here today, Lord God, to hear from you. God, take hold of me, the preacher, and speak a word through me. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord God, for you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And now today we are, the sermon title is Time is of the Essence. You know, time is truly of the essence for all of us, right? At all times. And I want to begin by reading this brief reflection. And it's written, it says, Frederica Matthews Green says what he says about repentance. The first time Jesus appears in the first gospel, the first instruction he gives is repent. The first instruction he gives is repent. From then on, it's his most consistent message. In all times and in every situation, his advice is to repent. Not just the scribes and the Pharisees, not just the powerful. He tells even the poor and oppressed that repentance is the key to eternal life. Repentance. Now, one person said, we know that repentance is not a word that is popular in these days. Nobody is really talking about repentance. As we saw in the gospel story, verses 1 to 9, it is subtitled, Repent and Perish. Subtitled, Repent and Perish. And it says, and I'll read it again, at that very time there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he asked them, do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? Do we think that, you know why, because other people suffer, they're worse sinners than us in essence? Jesus is asking. He says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Right? And so he's making the comparison. And then he goes on, he says, are those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. So the word is that Jesus wants us to repent. And, you know, folks don't hear the word repent because guess what? We do not believe what? That we're doing anything wrong. Isn't that the truth? We don't believe that we're doing anything wrong. People kill each other. People kill and murder and steal and rob. And we hear about the war in Europe now and all of that. And nobody thinks they should repent. It's become a dirty word. And so let's look at what repent. Next slide. What the word repent means. Okay. Repentance, first point, is the act of leaving what God has prohibited, left out the P, but it's prohibited, I'm typing, and returning to what he has commanded. So repentance is the act of leaving what God has prohibited and returning to what he has commanded. So whatever God says don't do, we should not do, we ought not to do. That is the beginning of repentance. Number two, repentance is the way provided for us to become free from our sins and receive forgiveness from them. That is repentance. To become free of our sins and get and receive forgiveness for them. Next slide. So there are four steps to repentance. Because this text is really about repenting. There are four steps. The first point is, the first is responsibility. We must recognize that we have done wrong. In order to repent, we must recognize that we have done wrong. Right? You can't believe you don't do anything wrong. You'll never repent. Amen? Amen. The second point, the second is regret. We must have true remorse for doing wrong and for the pain and problems we have caused. So we must what? Regret it. First, we must take responsibility, and then we must regret it. We must be sorry for it. Can you imagine if we start doing that in the world? Could you imagine if we start doing that in the United States? Let's talk about where we live. Would we see so many people killing each other? It's every day on the news. There's somebody killing someone else because there is no regret. Nobody feels sorry. You step on me on the subway, and I go and I get a gun and I shoot you. There is no remorse. Next point. The third is resolve. We must be committed never to repeat the act regardless of the temptations or situation. We must have a resolve that we're not going to do it again. And because if we do it, then we're making repentance cheap. Right? The fact that we are going to the Lord and asking the Lord to forgive us of cheating, give us of gossip, give us as whatever sin it is, forgive us of adultery, and then we go back and we do it, it means that we really are not sorry and we're not repenting. So we must be what? We must resolve that we're not going to do it again. And the fourth, and probably the most difficult, is to repair the damage we have done, or at least do what we can to apologize directly to the injured party. That's another problem we have in our society. Nobody wants to apologize. Nobody wants to say they're sorry because then they believe that you're weak. We believe that we are weak to say, I am sorry. I have asked God to forgive me. I have repented. When we ask God to forgive us, then we must what? Whatever the situation is, we ought to be what? To be able to remedy it. To be able to say we are sorry. And so in this text, next slide. So Jesus lays out about repentance. The first piece of the text is about repenting, right? He's saying the Galileans are not going to, they were not that bad that they suffered. And if we keep it up, we're going to be in trouble. And then Jesus begin by telling a parable. We know what a parable is, right? Jesus is telling us a story about a situation. And the parable is of the barren fig tree. And Jesus told them this parable. He says, there was once a person who had a fig tree planted in the orchard. And when he came in search of the fruit on it, and found none. He found none. He said to the gardeners, for 3 years now, I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but I've found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil? So the Lord is saying, he's giving them time for 3 years and nothing has happened. And what does this story mean, this parable? That we who are God's children, who have accepted Jesus Christ, we must bear fruit. We must bear good fruit. Amen?
Amen.
We are expected to bear fruit. And fruit that will last. Right? Good fruit. And in order to bear good fruit, we must be in the business of what? Repenting. In order to bear good fruit. And you see the barren tree. Now we have a fig tree here in the yard, in our garden here. And Carl watches it. I know when he sees this, he's going to look. He gets up early sometimes and he watches to see what's going on with the fig tree. We are watching it too because we all are fighting for the figs. So when he comes, if we see that fig tree, I was looking at it the other day, and it was barren. But we know at some point, when it's fig season, it is going to start bearing fruit. And that's what Carl is watching, and so are we. And what Ron does sometimes to me, we'll say, well, Carl is coming, we better take some of that fig. And Carl does make fig jams with it, because you're expecting it to bear fruit. So that Jesus is using this parable to demonstrate that as we as Christians, if we do not bear fruit, we ought to be cut down. Right? It's a parable, remember. And we ought to be, but here's what he said. After they discussed that, and the gardener said, More time. Give it another year. And if it doesn't grow fruit, then I'll cut it down. This is the key that we must remember, that Jesus Christ gives us time. God always gives us time to change our lives, change what we're doing, but it's up to us. And there will come a time when we have no more time, right? Because tomorrow is promised to no one. There'll come a time, and that's why time is of the essence, that we do not waste our time from day to day, because we do not know when the Lord is going to return, or we do not know when our time is over. Amen?
Amen.
And so he's telling them, and what did Jesus do? As he tells the story, he gave the fig tree time. We're all on borrowed time, friends, all of us, right? And the Lord has given us time to change. I have a cousin who lives in Jamaica, and when my aunt has gone home now to be with the Lord, but she would always say to her, you need to go to church. You need to go and give your life to the Lord. My aunt died at 90 years old, but she always was concerned about that niece. You got, her grandniece, her daughter's child. And she was always says, her name is Jennifer. She's never going to see this, but she's always said to her, you got to go. And Jennifer would say, but I've got to go to party tonight and tomorrow. I just want to party and do whatever I want to do now that I'm young. And she says, later on when I get old and I can't party, then I'll start going to church. So she had a plan. Her plan was, I got to have my fun now, and later on I'll change and go to church. And my aunt used to say, do you know when you're going to be gone? Do you know when the later on is going to come? Well, thanks be to God, the Lord didn't take her before she repented. Because she's grown now, and old age, caught her, and now she's in church. But not many of us get that time to do it. Some of us don't get the time to repent. We think we're going to, but we don't. So Jesus is telling us, do it now. Next slide. You see, the lessons for today is that the true message in all disaster is that life is short. Right? Life is short. And as this writer says, if we are going to repent, do it now. Consider the disasters we all know. And this is an older slide. Consider 9/11. Who would have known those people would have died? That was one of the biggest disasters until now. I could add in, consider COVID-19. What came upon us? Who knew that almost 1 million people in the U.S. would die? Who knew? Hurricanes like Katrina and Rita, mining disaster, earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunami, wildfires, what's happening in Ukraine? Who knows? So we don't have this long time. You see, because our journeys are all different. And the Lord is saying, repent now, friends. Now is the day of salvation. Some of us may have length of years. Some of us may live to be 90. Some of us will live to be 50. Some folks won't even reach 40. Whatever it is, God has laid out the plan for our lives. But one thing we are sure of, that one day we are going to leave this earth. So we must think about repentance. And that's what Paul was telling the church at Corinth. He's saying, beware, He gave all the warnings. He says, you must beware. Warnings for Israel's history. He himself talked about Israel's history, telling them what had happened, all the things that had happened in the past. And he's saying, do what you need to do. He'll say in Corinthians, he says, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to endure it. The Lord is faithful. And friends, the good news is he has given us time. You know, I know why he's given us time. Because you're all here today. You're under the sound of my voice. He has given me time, and he's given us time. And if we haven't repented, we could repent now. Right? We woke up this morning. That means he has given us time. The songwriter says, and we could, you know, we could do exactly what this songwriter says. He says, I am weak, and I need thy strength and power to help me over my weakest hour. We could call on the Lord. Let me through the darkness, thy face to see. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. We can ask the Lord to lead us, to help us to repent. It says, lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, Lord, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, oh, lead me, Lord. We could get on our hands and knees and ask God to lead us. Help me tread in the paths of righteousness. Be my aid when Satan and sin oppress. When Satan and sin comes at us, we are asking the Lord to be our aid. I am putting all my trust in thee. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. I am lost if you take your hand from me. I am blind without thy light to see. Lord, just always let me, thy servant be. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. God is always faithful, and we could call on him, and he will lead us.
Amen.
And he will always forgive us.
Amen.
That's the key. He's a forgiving God. There's nothing we can do, and during this season of Lent, we have an opportunity to bring all of the stuff. I put something up on Facebook today. I don't quite remember what it says. If your past, if people are telling you about your past, tell them that Jesus forgave the charge. Whatever is in your past, Jesus will forgive you if you go to him and ask for forgiveness. That's a loving Savior. He doesn't want to cut us down. He says, I wish that no one will perish, that all of us will what? Be in heaven with him when our time comes. It's not his desire that we perish. So it's up to us to be in right relationship with him. And as I close here is this brief reflection that says 180 degree repentance. Wabush, a town in a remote portion of Labrador, Canada, was completely isolated for some time. But recently a road was cut through the wilderness to reach it. Wabush now has one road leading into it, and thus the only one road leading out. If someone would travel the unpaved road for 6 to 8 hours to get to Wabush, there is only one way he or she could leave, by turning around. Each of us by birth arrives in a town called Sin, as in Wabush. There is only one way out, a road built by God himself.
Amen.
But in order to take that road, one must first turn around. Amen. That complete about face is what the Bible calls repentance. And without it, there is no way out of town. Friends, unless we repent, there is no way. But you know what? There is no cost for repentance. Jesus paid it all. The first word on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." Father, forgive them. That forgiveness extends to all of us. We could take that road and turn around on that forgiveness, because Jesus is waiting for us. And like the criminal, which is a second word on the cross that said, "Remember me, Jesus." The book we're reading says, nowhere in Luke does anyone call Jesus say Jesus. Within Luke, people call him, he was called Master, Savior, and all of those, you know, big, those words. But only in Luke, on the cross, and that comes from Luke, the criminal said, "Jesus, remember me when you get into your kingdom. Remember me, Jesus." Just a loving, simple word. And what did Jesus say, Ricky? Today. He says, "Today you will be with me in paradise."
Amen.
Today. If we call on him now, today, we will be with him. What a blessed Savior. Amen.
Amen.